Baruch Hashem Adonai, Shalom Chavarim. That means blessed be the name of the Lord and peace to our friends. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on 1220 AM Christian Radio and the World Wide Web, WHKWradio.com. I'm John Bartlett, your co-host today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. So get your Bible, pen and paper, get ready to take some notes, and enjoy the next hour of learning God's Word, especially on eschatology, the study of the end days. And don't forget, you can always re-listen later at shofarministries.net. Father, I want to come to you in prayer today. I want to lift up all those who write us with their prayer requests through the email. And Lord, we just ask that you grant their requests for your glory, for your Son's glory. We also want to lift up marriages to you today. That we know that there's a lot of trouble in marriages today, and it's an area where Satan has attacked, Lord. And I just ask you to heal broken and hurting marriages, hurting partners. Lord, we just know that you have sanctified marriage, and it's a picture of the church and the bride, and we need to be careful these days to talk with love to our marriage partners. And Lord, we just ask that you help us in that area, and we want to thank you for your help keeping us on the air. And we want to thank you for the opportunity to preach your word over the air and for all our listeners. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hello, radio listeners, and thank you, John, and Shabbat Shalom to you. I want to remind our listeners that they can feel free to email me at Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. with your end time questions, either during the week, anytime you'd like, or if you want to call and leave a detailed message to my office phone, the number is 440-834-9006. 834-9006. That's my office phone. That's not the radio line that we're going to give you a number later to call in today if you'd like to. But if you'd like to be included on my newsletter list, call that number, 834-9006, or email me with your address, and I will send a paper copy if you do not have the Internet.
And Sheila will be speaking at Chester Christian Center. That's at 11815 Chillicothe Road. That's Route 306, and that's this coming Friday at 7 p.m. Yours truly will be leading Messianic worship in song and dance. In dance? Okay.
Well,
maybe
sometimes
not in dance.
We dance. Sometimes okay. We dance. So.
I don't know if I'll be leading the dance, but.
So bring your tambourines and leave your troubles at the doorstep. Come and enter into God's joyful presence. You know, we don't have to be sourpusses.
We don't.
Okay.
Although, God help me in that area. But I do leave my troubles at the door when I do that. And we do we do have good worship, and it's uplifting. And you're really missing something if you don't come out.
Yeah, because you know what? Everybody's got problems these days.
That's
anybody
right.
Who doesn't?
No, I don't.
No.
Nope.
And I know why.
I know why, too. Are you going to say?
Because he wants us to long for his coming.
Oh, okay.
You know, and the more troubles we have, the more, oh, come on, Lord, hurry up.
Definitely has that effect.
Plus, when we say, Lord, hurry up, we get a crown of righteousness that Paul told Timothy about because we're longing for him to return, and he wants to give us rewards.
That's right, and that's an easy one to get.
That's right. So I think he's coming soon, don't you?
I think so, and I'm seriously hoping so, and I hope it's this year.
Oh, me too. But prophetically, the scriptures really are unfolding right before our eyes. It's absolutely amazing. The world is aligning against Israel, like scripture says. Jerusalem is certainly a cup of trembling, Zechariah 12:2.
Mm-hmm.
The nations think they are being drawn into a confrontation with Israel, but actually they are being drawn into a clash with the God of Israel, who has repeatedly defended it in most desperate hours, when they're the worst.
Mm-hmm.
He's been there for them. He's never going to change. But... Yeah. We've got some news to talk about, and I'm going to try to go through it pretty quickly.
Okay.
Okay?
I'll try to follow along the best I can. There's a lot. There's so much going on.
I know. But I have to say that just this week I read where an Israeli general, he said that Israeli soldiers face the potential challenge of being confronted by a Palestinian military force that's actually been trained and equipped by the United States. They were trained in Jordan by the United States General Dayton is his name, and the Israeli military is preparing for a potential confrontation.
Wow.
They know this is coming.
Well, now, that's serious. I hope were they training him well, or were they just telling him
no,
things?
No, they were training him very well.
Oh, that's sad.
Because they were supposed to be fighting Hamas. But now Hamas and the Palestinians are friends, so,
yeah,
you know.
At least this week they are, right?
Yeah, really. But anyway, United States General Dayton has expressed belief that this Palestinian army that he trained would likely attack the Jewish state in the event that Israel doesn't give in to the demands of the world leaders. And we know that's coming quickly in September. Now, we know from Scripture, and there's a lot of Scriptures like Malachi 1, Ezekiel 35, Psalm 83, Joel 3, Obadiah 15 through 18, that these Palestinians today, which in the Bible are called the Edomites, that they would become drunk with power, Obadiah says, and try to wipe out the Jews. But they will be defeated.
Mm-hmm.
But that war is coming from the descendants of Esau.
Mm-hmm. These are the Edomites.
Yes. Who settled in Edom, which is in the southern area of Jordan.
Nowadays it is, yeah.
Right. Now, the Edomites moved over to Israel, though, centuries ago. And that's because the Nabataeans came along and pushed them out.
Yeah, actually drove them out.
Right. So
yes.
They went over the Jordan and they ended up in Israel. And today they're Palestinians. And I have shown on many programs, by the way, that not only they're Palestinians today, but they have various factions.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly Israel's close neighbors first, the ones that are living like right on top of them,
are
going to be involved in this war. Now, much later during the tribulation, we see further countries like, you know, Russia and Iran attacking, but that's the one war that Ezekiel 38 and 39 describes, the war of Gog and Magog.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes later. But this report, it just shocked me, of the Israeli military having to prepare for a confrontation with an American-trained and equipped Palestinian army. And that's the point I want to make here. It's as though America will be in battle with Israel since we trained many of them.
Wow. Gee.
It's awful.
Well, you know, it seems like we continually get duped.
Yeah.
You actually said a few months ago that Hamas has, once again rejoined Fatah's Palestinian Authority.
Yes, it's an ongoing thing with them.
Yeah. So Hamas as well is collecting our money that was originally going to the Palestinian Authority to pay their taxes or pay their expenses to fight Hamas.
Yeah.
But now they're friends?
They're friends now.
Well, they're
collecting the money, too.
Well, gee, that's how you collect money from Washington. Come on, Washington. There's another agenda, as most of you can really see this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Anti-Semitism is what it's called.
Yeah.
Yes, and after a while, they'll probably split up again, Hamas and Palestinians, over something, so we can once again give more money to the Palestinians to fight Hamas. It's a game, and we are the patsies.
Mm-hmm.
Or are we?
Well,
I think that there probably is some highly anti-Semitic people in high levels calling the shots over our government.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be that way. And I also think that many are seeing that as well today. Don't you think so?
I think a lot of people are catching on.
Especially those avid studiers of God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
But our money is going to fund terrorist families also. I mean, these terrorists, they attack and kill a Jew, and if they don't get killed, they go to jail, but they still get money because the Palestinians are taking that money that we give them and handing it over to the families whose family members are in jail or were killed in jihad.
We should be calling our congressmen and complaining about this, or congresswomen, as the case may be, because this is an outrage.
It is an outrage, and this is the kind of things that they should be talking about cutting over this weekend with this.
No, instead we have a sideshow.
Yeah. Every day it's like, you know, the House sends it over because they got something and the Senate says no, and, you know, and it's going back and forth, and oh, my Lord, and this is the kind of entitlements that should be cut, not Social Security
right.
that we've already paid for.
Oh, don't get me started. Don't get me started.
Well, listen to this.
Okay.
Again, this U.S. General Dayton, remember he's the military trainer for the Palestinian Army, said if Israel does not agree to surrender Judea and Samaria,
the West Bank, right?
This Palestinian military force will more than likely turn their guns on the Israelis.
Wow.
Now, if this is Psalm 83,
then they're going to lose.
Yeah, Palestinians.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Listeners, this is an end time scenario. We didn't force any facts to fit what we just said. The Bible plainly talks about this. And if there's anyone out there, if you still think we're not living in the end times, give us a call. There's more reasons than just this.
Yes.
The phone number, by the way, is 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. Because we'll be opening up the lines after the break. And then we just ask that you keep your questions to the topic of eschatology, because we are in those last days, and there's so little information being taught in the local churches today. We want to make sure you get as much information as possible. And Sheila, you said there was a little bit more news?
Yes, there is.
So,
you know, last time we I outlined the Muslim Brotherhood. If you didn't get to hear that, you need to go back to my archives and listen to the last show. And how they were, the Muslim Brotherhood are infiltrating not only the Middle East, but in Washington as well. We talked about that. But this week I read where Jordan is about to be hit with a revolt very soon.
Well, I was expecting that.
Yeah, I said it would happen, and probably Saudi Arabia will be after that.
Mm-hmm.
But right now Saudi Arabia is giving away millions of dollars to their people to try to keep peace.
And they can afford it.
Yeah. But when the Muslim Brotherhood is ready, they will send in their own to rile up the people.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what's been the scenario in the other countries.
Yes, that's happened there.
And could it happen here? I know they'd like to try for sure after the rapture.
Yep. And do you think that could happen this year? Or can I get pinned down?
Well, let's just say I'm very hopeful. But let's see if Psalm 83 occurs. That's a big catalyst.
Okay, now, why do you think Psalm 83 will happen before the tribulation?
Because something is missing in chapter Psalm 83 that is not missing in Ezekiel's War of Gog and Magog. What is that, John? I know you know.
Well, I know. It's an idiom, and that idiom is in that day, in the moment that in that day begins the bride, us, we're gone.
That's right, we're gone. And this is a first century new believer's teaching stemming from Paul's account of Scripture and Peter as well. And in the Old Testament, too.
Okay, and again, we've covered this really well. And for more information, you can, go to shofarministries.net. Look for the 6-26-10. That's June 26th. We did that of last year. 6-26-10 radio program, and that will be on the idiom in that day. And you'll see how
I looked it up.
You'll see how important that is. It's not a general day. This is a very specific thing.
That's right.
Right.
And let's try to get one more news story in before we go to break. How about
sure,
that?
Sure, why not?
Okay. As you know, there's unrest in Syria. And because of this, Iran has actually poured thousands of secret police, undercover agents, and members of the Revolutionary Guard into Damascus and the surrounding countryside to prop up the regime of President Bashar al-Assad.
And in all the confusion, this is the perfect time to do this.
Of course. In turn, this gives them a prime position on Israel's border, posed to attack at any moment. Now, this is an addition to the hundreds of millions of dollars Iran has given to Hezbollah terrorists in Syria already and Lebanon to use against the Jews. Now, the thing about it is, we also give money to Lebanon, who are now ruled by Hezbollah. In fact, last week, our new Tea Party Republicans in the House of Congress that were voted in last November actually put forward a bill that would end United States financial aid to Lebanon, as well as Pakistan, Egypt, Yemen, and the Palestinian Authority, unless they met a list of stringent requirements. Now,
sounds like common sense to me.
And I'm so grateful. But it's not gone through yet. But in the case of Lebanon, Congress insisted that the terrorist militia Hezbollah cannot hold positions of political power as they do now.
Mm-hmm.
Congress wants the Palestinians, now on the Palestinians' end, Congress wants them to immediately cease making terrorist activity an attractive proposition for Palestinian Arabs, as I was telling you a minute ago,
mm-hmm.
who actually culturally glorify those Palestinians who have murdered Jews or who have died trying.
Yes, they make them into martyrs, actually, and they're worshipped almost.
And the Palestinian children, they're used to having their schools, their soccer teams, and their summer camps named after such terrorists who call them heroes and hail them as champions. And perhaps even more compelling is that the terrorist and family will suddenly come into what amounts to a financial windfall in this region.
So what we're saying here is this maintenance of the Palestinian terrorist industry is made possible in large part by you and I.
That's what I'm saying.
And I don't like that.
No. And the Republican Congress, okay,
mm-hmm.
wants to make this as part of the cut, cap, and balance program that they're trying to implement that's going nowhere. But they're being shut down, and Hillary was furious that it was even suggested in a bill. And she wrote to Congress, she said this, quote, "The new bill would be debilitating to my efforts to carry out a considered foreign policy and diplomacy and to use foreign assistance strategically to that end." Now, I think it's interesting that years ago, when she was a humble senator from New York with a high Jewish population, Clinton stood beside this Palestinian expert who had told her what was going on.
Oh, as if she didn't know.
Yeah. But he presented a worrying analysis of the anti-Jewish Palestinian school curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And Clinton staunchly supported him and demanded reform in the Palestinian educational system, which never happened.
Now, it seems like she no longer holds on to these convictions. Sounds like a big flip-flop there.
Now, I wonder why her.
Well, you know what? I think your fellow you like to listen to did a good expose of what the Palestinian children were being taught to. Glenn Beck, listen to.
He did that.
Yeah.
A couple other ones did it,
And
too.
I saw some of the films.
Itamar Marcus is another Palestinian expert.
I've seen the films of the Palestinian inside Palestinian classrooms. It's scary, and it's sickening.
It's awful.
And I feel sad for those children.
I know. Anyhow, we'll close on these topics with these words. The enemies of Israel grow bolder with every passing day. They see the reality that Israel's so-called friends will not help her in the current crisis. They do know that America is now led by the most anti-Israel administration in our history. They see the United States and the United Nations doing the work of harming Israel without them having to launch a single missile or fire even a single bullet. They know that if the plan to create a Palestinian state succeeds, they will have the greatest opportunity to destroy Israel as they have never had before.
Sorry to say.
Yeah,
that's what we're seeing. Just another reminder, we will be back again at the same time, 8 p.m. on the 13th of August, and that's a Saturday night, so join us that Saturday night. That's just, how many weeks is that?
Two more weeks.
And all our shows are archived, and they're on the webpage, shofarministries.net, and Sheila writes a great newsletter about every 4 to 6 weeks. Email her if you want one of those newsletters at Sheila at shofarministries.net. Or if you don't have the net, just get it over the regular old mail.
Okay. We're going to take a break.
Okay. The lines will be open when we come back. If you have a question, particularly on eschatology, remember the number 888-677-WORD. Since we cover a big radio area, we would like to visit your church for an evening of messianic worship and a timely message. Hey, call us with your pastor's name, and we'll give him a call to see when a convenient time will be for us to show up there. The number is 440-834-9006. Now stay tuned with us. Now you're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour. We'll be right back after a short break and a great song by yours truly. Stay with us.
Your favorite show is on, or the ball game, or a breaking emergency. So you turn on your local TV, and it's gone. Right now, congressional action may threaten the local TV that you rely on. Millions could lose access to free local news. Millions more, their HD. Tell Congress, protect your local TV. Log on, learn more at thefutureoftv.org. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
They say that smell is one of the most powerful senses. Think about the aroma of your morning cup of coffee and how it gets you going. For Sozo coffee fans, it means so much more. The smell of coffee berry means health. Each cup of Sozo packs the antioxidant power equivalent of a whole serving of fresh blueberries. No other coffee company has the patented coffee berry extraction process. All natural, fresh, healthy, and delicious. And when Sozo distributors smell their coffee, they smell big business. Sozo is sold through distributors, and they're growing every day, looking for people in your area. A lot of our listeners have become Sozo distributors, and they're selling a lot of Sozo products. It's time to wake up and smell the Sozo. Find out how you can become a Sozo distributor and start your home-based Sozo business. Call Sozo at 800-778-SOZO. 800-778-7696. 800-778-7696. Or online at TalkSozo.com. TalkSozo.com.
Next time somebody complains about all that bad stuff on the internet, send them to AngelsOnTrack.org, where the internet is literally saving lives. It's where you can go to report dangerous railroad crossings and where our government gets the information to investigate them. So go to angelsontrack.org if you notice a dangerous crossing and fill out an online report. Bad crossings kill good drivers, but you have the internet power to help prevent it.
Sponsored by Angels on Track, aired by the OAB and this station.
Let's talk about one of the sponsors to this program, which helps us a lot, and that, of course, is the Alexandria School for Nannies. You love children, John?
Yes, I do. I've got quite a few grandchildren.
Yes, I have seven, and I love little babies. But anyway, I have a friend, and she's a listener of this program, and she's the mother of five and grandmother of three, and she has recently attended the Alexandria School for Nannies, and now she's certified as a newborn care specialist. And she's enjoyed her education so much, she is now enrolled in their accelerated program for nannies. So if you would like to work with children while adding to your family's income, which is really kind of important these days, call Carolyn at 440-781-7531. And of course, if you are in need of that special person to watch your precious children, the number is the same, 440-781-7531. Again, if you love children and would like to find out more about the opportunities that are waiting for you as a professional nanny, one more time, call Carolyn, 781-7531.
Keep me in all of your paths, Lord, and make your ways known to me. Keep me as close as the dew is to the grass, as the sand is to the sea. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Your word is like a fountain, and it feeds the river of life. It gives grace to all the living, and it gives me joy inside. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I see your face, oh Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Make me as one of your sheep, Lord, and I'll no longer stray. And I'll feed with the flock in your pasture, and I'll do all that you say. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, oh Lord, I won't have to die. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and that song was sung by John Bartlett. And you know, John, I think you did such a great job on that. I could listen to it all the time.
Thank you very much. The Lord, you know, the Lord's hand was in on that one, and he just led me into the right groove for the song. And that wasn't a drum machine. Those were real drums.
I was playing real drums on it. And talks about the rapture, and we're so close to that. I think it's perfect. I think that should be our theme song. Maybe we should just play it every week.
Maybe we should. Maybe I should start writing some more. I don't know. But listen, we are going to talk about something that doesn't get talked about enough as far as I'm concerned, and that is...
the Book of Enoch.
Right. And Enoch is very, very interesting because it is quoted by the Bible. But before we get to that, okay... I want to mention something to you here.
The lines are open.
There we go. 888-677-WORD. That's right. 888-677-9673. And just to throw this in here too, we'll be in Chesterland, and that's this Friday at 7 p.m. for live worship music and great teaching. Okay? And that's, and we'll be right back here on, AM
13th.
It's on the 13th?
At 8 o'clock.
At Saturday, 12:20. I got that all out. But
Well, thank you. But yes, I'd like to share some of the golden tidbits from the writings of the apocalyptic Book of Enoch.
Yeah.
Now, I know it's not included in the canon of Scripture, and if you don't want to read it because of that, that's fine too. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is just some insights that really enhanced my knowledge. And I think they're quite good, and I just love to share them with you. You know, I'm not saying that you have to take it, you know, in every way that you want to.
Well, just because you love,
I like
you know,
it.
Just because we, you know, we're Christians, we're saved, and we love the Bible, doesn't mean that we can't read
anything else. Okay, but anyway, the writings of Enoch was very popular in the first 700 years. After Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it disappeared during the Dark Ages, like everything else did. Anything good kind of like got destroyed there. But the writings reappeared in the late 1700s in an area around Ethiopia. So copies of these ancient Hebrew writings were also found at Qumran as part of the Dead Sea Scrolls. You remember that? And they found the Bible and everything?
Oh, sure. Right. Right.
Okay.
And that would date it before...
which would date it written before,
Christ's arrival,
contrary to what skeptics say.
Oh, yeah. But it also makes it very credible, too, that they found it in the Qumran caves.
Yes, it does. And that's why God let that happen. I think he wanted to give some credibility to the writings, but only for the end time people.
Right, right.
I mean, you know, the last 2,000 years for sure.
And man, does this book have some things in it that really illuminate what's going to happen in the end time.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Now, I know you're really careful about these extra resources that you read, right?
I am. They should be highly recommended and must enhance biblical knowledge, never superseding it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's very important. Like, as an example, Josephus, who is a great historian, he added much depth to my scriptural understanding,
mm-hmm.
as has George Foote Moore's First Century Judaism. Archaeological resource books will also add to your evangelical witnessing, as well as scientific and medical collaboration, as in the recent finding of the bell from the priest's garment. That just happened, you know, within the last month, I think.
Yeah, there's something in big news in archaeology in Israel. They found a bell that would go on the high priest's garment that would run and be the bottom of the garment had like a bell, a pomegranate, a bell, a pomegranate. Mm-hmm. You have a picture of it there. There we go. I think I have one. There, I have mine. Yeah. Okay. This is cool. It's a small bell made completely of gold, and there is a little loop at one end of it, and that's, of course, to attach it to the fabric of the priest's garment.
Mm-hmm.
And these were there on the bottom of the priest's garment were lined with these bells. And one of the reasons I'm told was because of the high priest going into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. When the bells stopped ringing, that meant something went wrong. And it was a good way to know if the sacrifice was accepted by the Lord. Now, you can find verses in Exodus chapter 28, 33, 35 that will
explain it.
But this
Absolutely.
Is a tremendous
find. They found one.
It's a tremendous
find.
In a drain.
In Jerusalem.
And the reason it's so important is that there's quite a few people out there that are trying to disprove that Israel was ever even had a temple. There were, you know what I mean?
That's right.
And
apparently they think this high official was walking in the Jerusalem street and lost the gold bell that fell from his garment into the drainage channel
mm-hmm.
beneath the road that would be found today. And is that so God?
It is.
That is so God.
It is.
All right, let's go back to Enoch, though.
Okay.
So although cautious I am, I think we should really sit up and take notice when we see particular books suggested from authors of Scripture in the Bible, since we know that the Bible is inspired by God.
Well, sure, and if the Bible recommends a book to read, wouldn't you want to read it?
I would think that it might be a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But there are actually quite a few of those, and I didn't even realize it until I started looking them up.
Hmm.
But I really haven't been drawn to read any of them. That is until recently, and it's the writings of Enoch, because it's all about the end times, for the others aren't.
Yeah. So. I think most people know about Enoch because they've seen that in Peter and Jude's epistle.
Exactly. Yeah, we know that he was raptured.
But you're saying there's a lot more?
Actually, Bible? Just for the heck of it, I'll just tell you real quick, but okay. I don't want to spend too much time on it. But I just want to show people that they have, you know, Scripture does suggest other books.
Hmm.
Like, first of all, Enoch is a compilation of the final product of a pseudepigraphical writing.
What did you just say?
Pseudepigraphical means unknown writers, because they didn't want to get the credit, penned the book based on scrolls of notes handed down from someone else.
Oh, okay. I just want to see if you knew it. I really knew it.
In this case, Noah,
mm-hmm.
who obviously had taken them on the ark. Now, these writings did indeed influence Peter, who quoted from it in his epistle, mm-hmm. as did Jude, and godly men talked about Enoch in, like, Barnabas.
Enoch, very credible book. And Sheila, now, what are some of the other writings? I knew about Enoch.
Okay.
But what more reading suggestions?
I have a list of them here. Again, a lot of them can't be found today, but it's just, you know, just a good thought that it's even mentioned. But you ever hear the Book of the Wars of the Lord?
Oh, yeah. That one I remember. That one is in Numbers. Chapter 21.
Okay, and the Annals of Jehu?
Yes, and that's in 2 Chronicles,
and
chapter 20.
The mm-hmm. Annals of the Books of Kings?
And that's in 2 Chronicles as well, 24.
And the Book of Records of the Chronicles of Ahasuerus?
Now that's in Esther, in chapter 2.
Yes, of course it would be.
Mm-hmm.
The Acts of Solomon?
And that's in 1 Kings?
11.
11.
And the sayings of Hosea.
That's in 2 Chronicles, chapter 33.
The Chronicles of King David.
Man, 1 Chronicles 27.
There's a
lot of these things.
Jasher.
That can be found, Joshua, chapter 10 and 2 Samuel, chapter 1.
Now, I do have to let people know that they should be aware there are at least two fake books of Jasher out there.
Okay.
But the authentic one is translated by the Midrash and then into English in 1840.
Wow.
Still more. The Chronicles of Samuel, Nathan, and Gad.
Okay, and they're found in mentioned in 1 Chronicles 29.
And Samuel's book?
1 Samuel chapter 10. I guess he had a book.
Yep. The records of Nathan the prophet and prophecy of Ahijah, the Shilonite.
Shilonite. She's a follower of Shelah, I think.
And in the vision of Edu.
Okay, and everyone, yeah, that's a big one there. That's in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, and you'll find it again mentioned in 2 Chronicles chapter 13. There's a ton of these things.
Yeah, and by the way, they are all listed in my June's newsletter, which is already on the website.
Now, that's just amazing.
Isn't it?
I didn't know there were that many. What did we have there, 10, 11, something like that?
So in my opinion, as a teacher of prophecy, it just makes sense to at least look at the writings of Enoch that influenced, at least to some degree, our first century forefathers.
Mm-hmm.
What is very interesting is that many of the key concepts I already mentioned, as I said before, is actually used by Jesus himself. Okay, like terms and ideas, okay, found mm-hmm. in the writings of Enoch.
Mm-hmm.
And many comments, like at least 100, are located in the New Testament, and they find their precedence in the book of Enoch. Like John the Revelator. The basic premise of Enoch's writings are the telling of his visions and conversations with angels. And although apocalyptic, they are not that difficult, John, really, once you understand the style and have studied quite intensely the books of Daniel, Ezekiel, and Revelation.
And you know these three books have common language and pictures.
They do.
And that's why Enoch fits so nicely in here. Now, Sheila, wasn't Enoch alive while Adam and Eve were still living?
Yes, John. They were approximately 600 years old when Enoch had his experience, who not only was able to write it down in ancient Hebrew, he was also able to tell it orally to his son Methuselah.
Mm-hmm.
And Lamech was the son of Methuselah, but Methuselah was actually able to talk directly with Noah personally.
Wow.
Yeah, so he could give him the writings, he could talk to Noah personally, and then Noah, I believe, took them on the ark.
Yeah, took
the writings of Enoch on the ark.
Wow.
Now, some Jewish rabbis who read the book of Enoch say that he was the first one actually to use a written language, ancient Hebrew, although the alphabet is contributed to Seth.
Which, of course, is given by God, right?
Of course, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Only God could have done it. It's so unique, and each picture tells a story. It's just amazing, the language of Hebrew. I love it.
Oh, definitely.
But they also say he was exceedingly intelligent, Enoch was, as one might expect if you walked with God.
That's true. And Sheila, wasn't Noah still living, and he would have been able to talk personally to Abraham and Isaac, right? Noah could talk to both those patriarchs.
Yes, he could. He was alive when Abraham was alive.
Yeah, and this is, and of course, you know, we're figuring this on the actual ages that are listed, that are told plainly
in the Bible,
in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see, you can make yourself a chart.
We have a great chart.
Yeah, we do.
And I mean, it just says it all because it has this black line that tells you how long they lived, and then the next one.
Yes, you can see the lives overlapping and how many years they had to chat, and they were definitely mature and probably very, very smart.
And I want to say that I'll be glad to send you this chart to anyone that sends in any donation to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio.
Hey, that's great. You got to get this thing. You want to hang it up on your wall because it is very, very, very informative.
It just makes you understand that there really wasn't that many people that had to tell the story. You know, you get so many stories that say, the Bible cannot be true.
Because it went through
so many
different mouths. But actually, it came through 10 people.
I'm saying 10 people, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Noah living so long and could talk to Abraham.
Right, right. So there's not a...
that's not a lot.
You know, that's more... That's and plus, they were related, and they were also had in common, they were the righteous.
The righteous. And, of course, God planned it that way.
That's right.
You know, so we could get the truth.
That's right.
So, but anyway, one of the many things that touched me is how Enoch describes the stars, the galaxies, so precisely that there is no way he could have known these specific details without God revealing it to him.
Hmm.
There's no way.
We didn't have the technology.
They didn't have the technology.
Mm-hmm.
And now, because of the scientific knowledge we have, it authenticates to me that Enoch indeed did walk with God. He did have some writings, but not probably just a spiritual level, but maybe a physical level as well.
Think he walked with God physically?
Well, he couldn't see his face, of course, because nobody could, but I believe maybe he was right up there. Well, he is now, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but it just seems amazing when you read the things that he says, that the knowledge that he had.
It will make you have more faith and confidence in the Scriptures.
In the Scriptures.
Yes, it will.
Now, I do want to note this. Except for a few chapters in the writings of Enoch, which are pretty obvious that they were added later.
Mm-hmm. And this is a well-known fact.
Well, it's a well-known fact. We know which ones they are.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing in it contradicts the Bible,
mm-hmm.
as we said before, but enhances what we already know. And then it actually does clarify a few questions that I was going to ask God when I arrived in his presence, of course.
You really think you'd remember that once you got there?
No.
No.
I don't. But anyway, in Enoch's first vision, he describes himself as having his eyes divinely open to see heaven.
Hmm.
He describes heaven in a similar manner as Daniel, Ezekiel, and even Stephen, and of course, John the Revelator. Now remember, we know Enoch wrote a few thousand years before Moses was even born. How amazing that God let Enoch look ahead to the end of the age to see the second coming of the Holy and Great One. Now, this is what Enoch called him, but of course, he didn't have Jesus' name yet, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he called him the Holy and Great One, but he could see him coming to earth in this vision, just like John the Revelator envisioned so many decades later.
Wow.
A couple thousand years later. Maybe
wow.
Three. I don't know. I didn't figure that out, but I could. But it's a long time. Another tidbit I was surprised about was that Enoch says, now this is good, that the chosen ones, and of course I believe he's referring to the Jews, when the Holy One, which is Jesus, returns to earth, will be greeted by Jesus in the wilderness. Now, we know that Matthew 24 tells the Jews to flee to the wilderness after the abomination.
When they see the abomination of desolation, they're supposed to flee.
That's right, and that's in Matthew 24:15, I believe.
To the wilderness.
And Enoch to the wilderness. Okay. But now, Matthew doesn't say what wilderness.
No, it doesn't. But what didn't we always think it was Petra or something?
Right,
like
and
that?
And oh my
because
gosh.
It's so well hidden, and it's like easy to get to, and it's
well, it's
impregnable.
Easy to get into.
Yeah.
And
defended. It's easy to
with a quick earthquake, which is what Revelation 12 says there would be,
mm-hmm.
could close up that little seek. It's called S-I-Q that you get into, and it's huge, and it's got caves and food and everything.
Hmm.
And so I don't know. But I think it's interesting that Enoch says that this wilderness is the wilderness of Mount Sinai, where the law was first given. And remember, God protected them there
mm-hmm.
so very well in Exodus?
You know, we may have to adjust our thinking on this because that
but doesn't
was,
that make sense?
Well, where did the Elijah run? And he ran.
Mm-hmm.
And he was fleeing.
That's right.
And he ran to Mount Sinai.
Okay.
So there's a precedent set there, too.
That's right. And then, of course, history does repeat itself.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's where the Jews, well, God protected the Israelites
mm-hmm.
so well in that area where they could have never been alive or
well,
stayed alive without God.
They couldn't have survived without the manna, without the water from
yeah.
the rock.
So why would they have to go to Petra and have the caves and water and food there, because then they could say, well, man did it instead of God did it.
That's true. And God will once again, you know,
provide.
Be their shepherd and take care of the sheep.
Now, see, that I did not even think of that.
Yes.
Because I was always thinking Petra. But when I read the book of Enoch, that mm-hmm. opened up my eyes. So you see, there's something good, and it could be this way. I'm not saying it's gospel.
Right.
Okay. But when you see how God repeats things like that.
Yes. It makes a lot of sense. I'd say there's a good chance of that happening. And of course, now we know Mount Sinai is not in the traditional site.
Not the traditional.
That you see on the Arabian.
It's where the Bible says it is.
Yeah, that's exactly where it is.
Galatians 4:25 says it's in Arabia. Yes. So why did we think that it was in the
Why did we think
something?
They had it on some peninsula there.
Sinai Peninsula. Where it was. Yeah.
And it was a site chosen by a person that was like sensitive to the spiritual world or something like that. It was an odd way they chose the site, and it was completely arbitrary. Yeah. They didn't really know, but two explorers actually went and secretly
to the real one.
Yeah, got into Saudi Arabia without being thrown out as spies, and actually found. The 12 altars made of stone, uncut
what was
stone.
Left of it, yes.
The remains of the 12 altars underneath the base of this mountain, and they actually looked at the top of the mountain, and it's known as Moses' Mountain in Saudi Arabia by the Saudis. They call it that. And the top of the mountain is charred.
Wow.
The rock itself is charred to up to an inch deep, the rocks are. There was a flaming, fiery furnace. And if you go back in Exodus, you check this out.
Yeah.
And so, hey, you know, this is really cool.
Cool. Okay. It is really. I mean, anyway. But Enoch, he actually describes the tribulation. He explains how the final judgment on earth is with much fire.
Mm-hmm.
He describes earthquakes that level mountains, spewing flames and molten lava. Not like the judgment of flooding that was about to happen soon after his son, Methuselah, died.
Yes, and of course, Methuselah's name actually meant his death will bring.
Yes.
And so there was a prophecy, and this is how deep the scriptures go. Every name, even the names in the Bible, mean something, and they mean something important. There's nothing superfluous in our scriptures.
Oh, that's right. We have the gospel in Genesis 5, and I don't have that here with me right now, but each name represents the story of the gospel.
Hmm, great. Hey, we've got some extra time on our hands tonight, don't we?
Well, I do want to mention, too, that Jesus is coming soon. If you don't know that now, I don't know if you ever will. But he is coming soon, and he carries with it a message for believers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that thought, I should say, carries with it a message for the believers today.
Right. What is that message?
Well, if you're a lukewarm Christian or a carnal Christian, okay, mm-hmm. you are being called to recommit your life back to a closer walk with Jesus. Closer, closer, closer. The night is almost gone, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. People, stop putting yourself before others.
Mm-hmm.
Think about, especially in marriages, and we prayed in the beginning of this show for marriages.
I'm getting a lot of requests for that.
That's
There's a lot of marriages that are really going through some tough times.
Well, and you know, I think a lot of it is because people are thinking of themselves before their loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
They should always say, how can my loved one be more, how's my loved one more important than myself?
Mm-hmm.
What can I do to make her happy? I don't care about myself. And if every married person would feel that way, marriages would thrive.
Yeah, I think, were you talking about men there?
Well, not necessarily.
Well, you know, but really, I think more often than not, men tend to forget that they are to, like the scripture says, to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And that's a sacrificial love.
Yeah.
And gave himself for it. And when you think about that, that's a pretty heavy commandment. So we are commanded to love our wives.
That's right. So instead of saying, well, what about me?
Yeah, and I find myself saying that a lot. So I should have got this. And
where's
she
my
got,
dinner?
Where's my dinner? See, I'll never. You know, I thought I told you about that. I didn't think you'd mention that to anybody. But
no, I didn't tell anybody you said that.
Oh, okay, good, good. So nobody knows about that then.
No, I haven't told anybody. No, but it's a common thing, you know, and I think that we just have to keep that in perspective.
Yes.
And if we pray every morning and ask God to remind us,
mm-hmm.
I think we'll do good. Hey, we got to close.
We got to close. Ooh, already. Okay, so, and if you've never made Jesus Lord over your whole life, that means maybe you made him Lord over some of your life, or maybe you're concerned. You might be one of those that just have the head knowledge of him, but not really the heart conviction. Just get on your knees right now. Repent. Jesus will forgive you. He is there waiting, actually, for you, and he will fill you with his Spirit, and you will become born again. You can do that anytime you want. Hosea 6:6 says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Why is that? Why is that? Well, if you have questions for Sheila, or you'd like her to speak at your church or group, just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net.
And the ironic blessing.
Okay. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Yair Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha, Yesa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Join us next time, Saturday, August 13th at 8 p.m. Sha'alu shalom. Jerusalem.
Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, sheila@shofarministries.net. That's sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220.